traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I mean, did you see the same fight I did?
I did, but I mean, like, you know, you got a couple blows in there, but I was expecting his head to fly off a little bit earlier.
I mean, bro, if his pesky neck wasn't attached to his body, it would have. I mean, bro, like, yeah, I lost the fight.
Oh, no.
Okay. Okay.
Dude, I woke up sick this morning. I sneezed 3 times. I didn't think I was going to make it on Impulsive today.
I really am sick, bro.
How did I manage to belittle the fight into that one comment?
He got through the whole fight, I swear to God. Everything was super classy. Everything was perfect. And in the last second before we leave the place, he's like, I don't know. I woke up this morning. I sneezed 3 times. And I was like, this motherfucker, dude. He had to do it.
You know what? I think we need to stop doing post-fight interviews. I mean, you just got whacked in the skull. It can't be good for your cognitive thinking.
You didn't get whacked though.
I got whacked a couple times.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Well, okay, so when did you get hit? How did it feel?
First off, we should do a proper intro. let me practice. It's been a while. Welcome. Welcome
back.
Welcome back
to Impulse.
Welcome.
You got it.
You're working late, and so are we.
wrong show. Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. We're back.
Season two. it's post-fight. I didn't win.
Facts.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Really would have been nice if you could have done it for America.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. And for you guys, my friends, for my fans, yeah. Honestly, everyone, I just let the whole fucking world down. I was belittled to a meme about sneezing. Mm-hmm. My fault. Mm-hmm. But
now look at us, man.
Dude, we've been yes men for what? How many years? And that's the type of result you deliver us?
Honestly.
Like, just sick of it, dude, at this point.
Do you know how much yes?
Like, I'm going to go say yes to other people now. I'm sick of saying yes to you, bro.
Can we start open with the terminology from the UK? I want to talk about this so bad.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of shit we've been...
What's going on?
Hey, I'm going to be honest. I haven't been getting that much shit because I'm just like... It kind of just like bounces off me. But you've been called many names by the
UK. Yes, man. Which I guess is just a person that says yes a lot.
Right.
And also an arse licker or an arse licker. I don't know exactly what they say.
Yeah.
Okay. What are some of the other? Oh, and a Nancy.
No, a Nance.
Nance.
Nance. It means pedophile.
Oh, nice.
Here's how I know this.
Brutal.
There's a kid. He's like Team KSI, and he's got like a million plus YouTube subscribers. And last year, he come up to me and Jake. I actually have the video here. Look at this fucking kid, bro. He's a troll.
Their Keemstar?
We get you to say it as well. Tell them in Welsh that you're going to knock out Deji.
In Welsh?
Yeah, I'm a Nance Deji.
I don't know, bro. I don't trust that.
Jake.
Forehead, bro. Deji, I'm a Nache.
He just told Deji's a pedophile, dog. like this kid got us. And this year, this motherfucker snuck into the ring, bro. Post fight.
Okay,
this kid.
Oh, wow. It's not very sneaky.
Why do his shoes look like submarines? They're massive, dude.
The point is, yeah, man, we've been called Nancy's arse lickers. They've been telling me to suck my mom.
Suck
your mom.
And it's funny because, like, I mean, I'm sure we'll talk a lot about the fight, but my sentiment towards it is just like extreme gratitude. I was thankful to be a part of the event, was happy I got to experience that and put on a great show. And I got to give props where props are due. KSI is a dog, is a G. Mm-hmm. And I posted a video called I Lost, and I explained how I was actually filing an official appeal because me, as well as quite literally the rest of the boxing universe, does not agree that the 2 points that were taken away from me was fair and appropriate for a 6-round fight professional debut. So that's in the review process. I've had miracles happen in my life before. If the California State Athletic Commission reviews this and has a hearing and decides to take away 1 point, and the fight is a draw again. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the riots that would take place on both sides of the pond?
The streets would be flooded. Flooded.
With blood.
Blood would be everywhere.
Yeah. And so KSI actually, he's not very happy about this appeal. And I asked myself if I had won and he had done an appeal, what my reaction would be. But he's kind of snapping a little bit. He's making me the title of his videos and the thumbnail and whatnot. But he posted this on his Instagram. Certain man can't take defeat, shaking my head. What happened to first round decapitation? Either way, Logan's knockdown should have never been a knockdown in the first place. Man had to fight dirty to drop me. And then even when I was on the ground, he hit me in the back of the head. Dirty cunt. Dirty cunt. Dirty cunt. And I'm not going to argue this. Like, actually, I will say this. I'm definitely a cunt. I'm not a dirty cunt. Like, just easy, Tiger. But it's like, here I am saying incredibly nice things about JJ and like the fans and the event.
Here comes the yes man. I'm gonna jump in as a yes man for a second. You've said some nice things, but you've also argued the officiality of his victory. You've also had some not so nice things to say.
When? You know what I'm saying? After the fight?
I mean,
no.
A lot before the fight.
I'm selling a show.
Okay. I hope that people watching that. I hope people watching that understand that. By the way. Like, I would hope that people in the UK or wherever watching this understand that all that shit talking that goes on prior to the fight is what has to be done to make people buy the fight. Like, do they get that, do you think?
KSI and I are, I'm going to pat ourselves in the back, are marketing gurus. And we know how to sell and market ourselves to a large audience. And that's what we were doing. Except, like, even after the fight, I'm well within my right to appeal the decision. And by the way, if it doesn't get turned over.
I don't know. You're not necessarily insulting his fighting ability. No, of course
not at all.
I think you're just challenging
the decision.
Not the decision.
And my logic is, if you JJ and JJ fans truly think he won that fight fair and square, you have nothing to worry about, and there's no reason to snap back with malice. Mm. Like let me do my thing, because I just, and like I said, a lot of people just don't think the outcome of the fight was right. Mm-hmm. The last time 2 points were taken away was over a decade ago, and one of the times when Mike Tyson bit off Evander Holyfield's ear. I don't know how that's in any way synonymous with me doing a heat of the moment love tap.
Okay, so I don't.
In a 6-round bout.
I didn't know that's what it was about. The two points versus 1 point.
It was the
tap
and then the holding of the back of the head. That's what.
So are you.
That's what people are saying.
Are you particularly challenging the back of the head grab or
the back of the head grab was within legal boxing conditions. If you do it like intentionally and that is you're trying to like wrap your hand around the back of his neck and repeatedly punch, it's fine. Lennox Lewis did it all the time. It was
kind of
like
where
his
hand landed.
Like I went to throw a hook, it was here, and the uppercut was the next best thing. It wasn't like an intentional, I'm going to grab.
So the argument is that he can slip out of that if he wanted to? Or
The argument is that was a legal punch. The problem that the ref had, Jack Reese, was that when he was down, he was kind of like still on my leg and I like tapped him in the back of the head to get him off me. And that's when he took away the 2 points with no warning. Not even 1 point. It just seemed a little excessive. And everyone agrees with that. Every single boxing fanatic that I've talked to, that I've seen online, that I don't even know is on the same page with me. And so, yeah, dude, I feel a little slighted. I feel like I got robbed.
Well, also,
if it doesn't get turned over, like, yo, so be it. I've taken L's before. Something tells me I'm going to be all right. We got the number one podcast in the world. We're back on season 2. We got sponsors. Speaking of that.
Oh, shit.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got a new sponsor. Remember when breakfast cereal was your secret weapon for starting the day off right? Then you grew up and realized it was full of sugar, excess carbs, and stuff you shouldn't eat. Ladies and gentlemen, this episode is sponsored by Magic Spoon. A new cereal company that's discovered a way to recreate your favorite childhood cereals with zero sugar, 12 grams of protein, and only 3 grams of net carbs in each serving. They offer 4 flavors of breakfast cereal based on the all-time classics, cocoa, cinnamon, frosted, and fruity, plus a variety pack that lets you try them all.
Wow, they even got puzzles on the back,
too. The artwork is great, dude.
It's super nuanced and fun.
It's nuance, not nonsaid.
Exactly. It's keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, soy free, low carb, and GMO free. Go to magicspoon.com/Logan to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code Logan at checkout to get free shipping. They're so confident in their product. If it's backed, it's backed with 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Magicspoon.com/Logan, promo code Logan for free shipping.
Manufactured in Brooklyn, New York. Shout out Brooklyn, New York. Let's go. Did you make this happen, Dylan?
Absolutely. You know we're all about that.
Let's go, Dylan.
How many hours did you guys spend as a kid looking at the back of a cereal box?
A lot.
I would do that longer than I'd eat my cereal.
Yeah.
That was my entertainment, man. Mm-hmm. Before school. Anyways, did you want to say something about the appeal?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess like the biggest thing for me is just like, and I mentioned this to you this morning, when the Patriots get a bad call going downfield and it's the Super Bowl and they lose the game as a result of a poor officiating call, the big thing to do is take the loss,
right?
And everyone says the same thing. That's all right. We'll get them next time. The problem here is it looks like there's not going to be a next time.
And by the way, why on God's green earth would KSI get in the ring with me again? Let's be honest. We all saw the fight and we all know what happened. And we all know the next time would be disastrous.
I don't know that he knows that. He has, bro, I know what you're saying. I have to keep playing devil's advocate because he's got one win and one draw. And so just the statistics of it, I think if you were able to ask him to come back into the ring, I don't think it would be fear that would drive him to not do it. I think he would come back to fight you again.
Did you see the sheer sense of relief on his face when his hand was raised?
Yeah.
And in the interview, when Radio Raheem goes, "Yo, are you going to do this a third time?"
I said, "No."
Bro, just with the most excitement in the world, he goes, "It's done, fam." Like, because I truthfully believe he somehow scraped away with a win. And I also blame myself for not making sure the first round decapitation happened. Like, there's a lot. I'm definitely disappointed in myself and my performance and like the circumstances of as much as we joke, I was sick as fuck that day. I shouldn't have worded it in the sense of waking up and sneezing three times. But like, I woke up that day and I really had to check myself and my manhood. And I knew that was going to be a very, very difficult day for me to get through.
Were the sneezes like back to back? Like, choo, choo, choo.
Yeah.
Because that's serious, pretty fucked up.
Bro, you ever sneeze right when you wake up? It's the first thing you do.
But three in a row?
It ain't great, bro.
That's like you got to go to the hospital ASAP, though.
Oh, yeah. I was on the cusp of death.
I mean, I don't blame you.
To your point, I think everyone that watched that fight, everyone that was in the arena, everyone in the UK, the Sidemen, KSI himself, I think everyone who watched that knows who the better boxer is out of the two. The thing that really hurt was I think you gave his right hand so much respect. And rightfully so. It's a dog ass punch that you didn't capitalize when the fight said capitalize. All the conversation pre-fight was will Logan Paul get gassed like he did the first time? And in fact, the exact opposite happened. KSI was gassed in round two. I thoroughly think that if you applied pressure at the end of round two, round three, round four, and let those fucking fists go, he would not have made it to round five.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I unfortunately, before the fight, and we probably have this on video, I told Shannon and Jake, I go, "Hey guys, I really don't feel good. I have to start slow. I was relying on my adrenaline kicking in round two and a half, and which, by the way, it did. That's when I was like, okay. Shannon goes, end of round three, Shannon comes up to me. He goes, "Yo, what the fuck are you doing?" I was like, "I don't know." And then end of round four, I was like, "I got this. I'm good now." Like it took me a bit to warm up because I was just like, felt like my insides were upside down.
Yeah. So what stops you guys from going 12 rounds?
That's like a super professional fight. We could go eight. We could go 10. But
eight would have been perfect. I feel like you guys were both just getting into like some shit was about to happen. A 6-round fight
is
like,
so short.
I think when I was watching the fights before, I was like, damn, I think this is going to go all 6 rounds. Mm. Like, I don't think either of you guys are going to get a knockout in.
Especially because like, bro, his willpower is so strong. So is mine.
Yeah,
I boxed a little hesitant because I said this before. Yo, no head guards and 10-ounce gloves. Woo!
Yeah. I think the only the only way where which I'm still optimistic. I could see JJ doing another fight.
I'd love to see it.
Like, who else is gonna? Who else is going to sell out the Staples Center? Right? Who else is going to bring that kind of traffic with him? Is he gonna fight again? Like, if he fights again, I think it's a great fight. I think it's a great way to market it.
I agree. I mean, he's got to be somewhat displeased with how things went.
How can you be happy with that win?
Either of them, like it was a technical draw that you won on an officiating, call it mistake or not mistake, whatever you want to say as you watch this. But at the end of the day, like there was no ass beating. There was no, you know what I'm saying? It was a very,
this was probably the most vicious uppercut that was thrown that night. How can you be satisfied with this as a win? Like, bro, you got fucked up.
Yeah.
No first round decapitation, but damn near fourth round decapitation. Should you not have taken the 2.5 minute break that the ref gave you? What are we talking about?
Yeah, you would have been donezo too if he didn't get that break. If you
didn't, that's what I'm saying, boys. I don't. If I were him, I would never step foot in a boxing ring with me again. You got the dub, run for your fucking life.
Yeah.
Bruh, look at this shit. I have hundreds of these photos.
Beautiful.
This is Jab Central.
Beautiful.
I have, look at this. Yeah. I mean, how many times can I turn your face into pizza?
You got what you needed.
Bruh, I aged you. you're 54 here.
Where's Jack Reese looking in the background of that photo? He's like, look at the set of tits on that one. Like, what are you doing, Mr. Reese? He's fucking, what the fuck, dude?
Yo, so you mentioned you took some hits. Do we have any photo evidence of?
That's what I was going to say, because I want to be responsible journalists here. Are there shots that we
live in a strange world now?
All right, boys, you're absolutely right. This is a great question. I scanned because everyone is so afraid of being made a meme. So
of course.
I looked through all the photos. I'm like, does this one look bad? Does this one look bad? Last year, there's a one punch of me, like my face, like
remember that?
Yep.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
There's only one photo. There's literally only one photo of me just getting fucked up.
Pull it up.
To the highest degree.
You got it?
I only have it because the only person who took it was Mac, who works for Team Maverick.
Oh, shit.
I actually didn't transfer it to my computer because I wasn't going to pull it up. But if y'all are asking, I'm sure.
Yeah, I want to see it. I definitely want to see it.
Journalistic responsibility. And like the last thing I want to do is be called a yes man. So if I have a photo of my boy getting fucked up, I want the world to see it.
No. This is... look at this.
I'm a nomad. Look at a nomad. You just look like you're in deep thought, bro.
Yeah, right.
Throw it up.
Let me see.
Let me pull this up.
Oh, wow. We're going to reveal this to the impulsive audience.
You're just taking a quick breather, dude.
Bruh.
Yeah. I don't even know.
Yeah, but what did you get hit with?
I think it was a jab across my face, and then I came back and my neck grew 4 inches.
Right. Yeah, you look thick. You look like a tree trunk.
Bruh. How did that feel? That's a great question, Danny. So Danny's asking how it felt, and I kind of mentioned it. 10-ounce gloves and no headgear. Something about the no headgear is actually super relieving and freeing. I actually don't like fighting with headgear. Makes me step up to the plate a little more, and I can see because the headgear blocks your peripherals just a little bit. But these fucking 10-ounce gloves.
Yeah.
There wasn't... It was more of, I think it made me hesitant to throw, which is the problem. They've been making fun of me at the house. Is like, I didn't use my right hand.
Was it 2 right punches landed through the whole fight?
It was both the uppercuts. Like, I threw 2 right hands and,
they were the most deadly punches.
Yeah, me and his dad have been giving him so much shit. I mean, we'll be like, hey, Logan, can you hand me that? And we'll be like, no, don't use that hand, man. We know you don't like using that. Hand it to us with the left.
Like, legitimately hate myself for not activating more, but I realized that when I would throw my right hand, KSI would do his fucking windmill shit. And like, who knows, bro? Like, I do not want to get hit by one of those random punches.
I talked about it in the locker room after the fight. And Jake, who really fucking cried, you stupid fucking assholes. morons, bro. Have you ever cried and then washed your face with water or ice or something to make your face not red and inflamed, you stupid fucks? Like, what's wrong with you people?
Wait, anyways, what are you getting mad at? What happened here?
People just are saying that Jake Paul didn't really cry. He faked it. He fucking faked it. And he got caught with ice in his hand.
Since he was in high school, he would put ice under his eyes when he cries. Because he wants to reduce the swelling and make it look less like red.
Okay.
And he did that. And everyone's, but by the way, like how does ice under your eyes make you fake cry?
It melts and then it kind of drips
guys,
down.
I can't.
I'm guessing.
The sentiment backstage was that there were a couple mistraining steps on the way into this fight. And I back that statement. I did not see Logan spar a wild thrower. He sparred 6 boxers, 10 boxers.
Hold on, I gotta stop you right now.
The Brazilian?
Bro. I'm about to disrespect you.
Go ahead.
Uh-oh. Bro, do it, dude.
You did not see me spar because you came out for 2 sessions, the whole training camp. Mike was the most hands-off he's ever been in anything in my life.
Well, you walked
out twice,
well, let
dude.
Me tell you why. How are you supposed to get hands-on at a camp run by Shannon the Cannon Briggs?
You're not, but also, then don't talk about it like you were some ample part of the program.
But now tell me that you did spar while
I did. Okay. I did. We spar one dude.
Well, then how come you are not prepared to counter the wild right in the fight?
It's like
what happened?
Anthony Joshua hired a sparring partner that mimics Andy Ruiz's style.
Yep.
You know how many people can do Andy Ruiz's style? 1. And it's Andy Ruiz.
Okay.
As much as we can mimic KSI's style, there's only one person who does it as well as him, and it's him.
I mean, but just think about it for a second. What part of left jab even makes remote sense as a counter to a right hook? It's the same arm throwing.
I'm asking. Tactical boxing.
I'm asking you. Does a left jab? Because wouldn't it make sense
as opposed to a right-handed uppercut,
facing the ground, right hand thrown.
I can't talk to someone about boxing who doesn't know boxing.
Okay, I guess I'm asking. Like, what sense did it make to not unload more rights?
Here's why.
In the fight.
Here's why. Every time I would throw a right and I do my unleash, he would go bonkers. Cause like, bro, he's a dog. That's the one thing we know about him. And by the way, he didn't improve from last fight. He didn't improve from his first fight, but his mental toughness did.
He wasn't scared at all.
I said this after the ring. He's one of the toughest people I know. That kid's a fucking dog.
Who would win in a swing off?
A swing off
where you get in the corner and it's fucking go time, and
how can you both be in a corner?
If one person's in the corner and you're in front of them. Have you ever seen people in the sixth round? If you're in a say you're in a cylinder, there's 30 seconds left in the fight. They are swinging off on each other. It's the end of the fight. One's gonna put one down. It's the end of the fight. Who wins?
I honestly, probably him. I'm being 100% honest. I'm just not that wild puncher. I'm like strategic. I pick my punches. I wait till the fourth round to set up a beautiful uppercut because I know he's jabbing lazily like this. So yeah, I'm a little more strategic with it. And he's just...
Because that was the only option in round 6. You know, like when it came down to it and they were like, yo, LP needs to fucking knock this dude out. You had to put him in the corner and wall bag him.
Yo, so I got to ask, are you guys ever going to do a collab on some piece of content?
Me and JJ?
Yeah, are you guys going to like hang out?
I thought about it. I think the world wants to see it. I really wish this fight would have had a bit of a cleaner ending. I don't feel great about the loss. And if I were JJ, I wouldn't feel great about the win. Because like, it's just a super up in the air, very polarizing outcome. And so, yes, I've settled the beef. I have no ill will against JJ. But there is still, unfortunately, I feel like unfinished business.
Yep, tricky.
The locker room after. So yeah, you mentioned Jake. Jake cried a little bit. That was interesting. at first, I thought it was because he was drinking, but he said he was sober by then. But it was so interesting to see. For some reason, and maybe it's because I've taken big L's before, the loss didn't and hasn't hit me like the ton of bricks that everyone was expecting it to.
You were the least affected by it in the locker room because I think you knew that you went in there, you showed up, you knew that you guys put on a great show, you knew that, you know, you left Would you say you left it all out there?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Because I remember the fight Shannon
was
over, said,
I was like,
I got 10 more rounds.
Yeah,
like,
that's it.
Shannon said to you, I guess at one point, or at least he said to me, what is it? Go home tired. No matter what, even if you get knocked out, even if you lose, go home tired.
I didn't do that.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, I mean it when I say I'm like really disappointed in myself. I think it was the perfect storm of just shit that day involving my health that I don't know. And it worries me because was that sickness caused by stress? And will it happen the next fight? Or was it just a super coincidental, like this happened to, I get sick a lot. I'm sick probably like 6 months out of the year.
And did you hear the weird conspiracy that we thought of?
What?
I think I told you. In an effort to build a batch and not reduce testosterone, he didn't have sex leading into the fight. Yep. Sex is a great reliever of stress, which is a contributor to getting sick. In a way, his non-sexual activity may have contributed to higher stress rate, which contributed to him getting sick before the fight.
Here's
AKA fucking himself as opposed to fucking someone else.
Here's what I'm going to rebuttal real quick. I said this somewhere. I forget where I said it. Bro, I had two wet dreams the week of the fight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Two, bro.
Two
a week.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
No, please, no.
Nice.
One a week before the fight and one 2 days, bro.
Oh.
2 days.
You blew your load.
So here I am building the batch, fucking running 8 miles, putting iron in it, lifting weights, sparring, everything.
Yep.
And a week out, blow my load. I'm like, no problem. I got 4 days to rebuild. Blow my load again. Sleeping, bro. Dreams. Vivid. I noticed my dreams were more vivid during training camp. And they were all sexual.
Yeah. Wow, man.
Bro, I haven't had a wet dream in 10 years. What am I, 7 years old?
That's either that or just maybe like a sex addict. Like, again, yeah. Do we bring back the conspiracies of the sex addiction?
Yo, with his, you said running 8 miles with his absolutely... ashamed as I am of your performance and to even call myself your friend now, your stamina was and endurance was quite impressive. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people that were concerned or about your ability to make it through and have that endurance, I think you did a better job from a stamina standpoint than KSI did.
I think
watching him in round three, looked like he was stuck in the mud. You moved right through round six very well.
Yep.
And so kudos on that, man. Maybe you should be a fucking track and field runner. You'll probably pull your hamstring again.
Yeah, so do you want to keep fighting? Or is like fighting done now?
Nah, I really do, bro.
Like
boxing, or
are you moving on to UFC?
I'll probably start rolling around and doing jujitsu. And the wrestling, I probably got down pat. Maybe just need a little refresher. But like, bro, I really believe I've gained too much skill in this sport to not do something with it.
Yeah.
Right.
If any celebrity wanted to call me out, I truthfully believe I would fucking destroy them. Because you can't just hop into boxing. I've had a year and a half, 2 years now to just hone this skill. Like anyone can get good at anything in a year and a half, literally.
So you think KSI is your kryptonite?
as far as
like even the ability to like beat you like from a celeb or influencer standpoint? Like, is he the one person that, because you say like you would hop in the ring and fucking destroy someone, but we've seen you have two fights now and you failed to do it both times. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's like, what I'm just asking, like, is KSI the one guy that, oh shit.
I mean, did you see the same fight I did?
I did, but I mean, like, you know, you got a couple blows in there, but I was expecting his head to fly off a little bit earlier.
I mean, bro, if his pesky neck wasn't attached to his body, it would have. I mean, bro, like. Yeah. I lost the fight.
Oh, no.
Okay. Okay.
How
yeah.
did I feel hitting him?
Huh?
When you caught him with that.
When I caught him with that first one, I go, there's no way he survives this. And then I got
and
him with the second. I got him with the second one and I was right. And then he was like kind of on my ankle. And I think it was like just like a fuck you, get off me, like love tap. And it wasn't, bro, can you imagine if I really loaded up and really wanted to end him? Like
yeah,
I would have.
Yeah.
That's why definitely. I think it's just excessive. But yeah, man.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today.
Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
The other call out too has been lack of warnings. I think that's another, like Ryan Garcia keeps hitting on that too. Like even if that was deserving of a 1 point deduction, it would have been after being warned multiple times. If I've seen so many boxing matches and everyone, there's always the time when the ref said, "You do that one more time, I'm taking a point." Did he ever say that to you? Like at any point?
No.
Because you could hear it from the ref's mic in the ring. He always says, "You do that again, I'm taking a point." You hear it all the time in boxing matches.
You know what a lot of people also had a problem with? And like, again, I don't mean to blow up Jack Reese, the ref.
He's not even paying attention to the fight. He's looking at fucking Summer Rae's ass, dude. Like, let's be honest, dude. He ain't watching the fucking fight.
He was so condescending to me specifically, but I don't know if he took this fight as serious as he would like a proper title fight. And like, maybe there's some merit in that, but also focus on doing your job to the best of your ability. Like KSI hit me in the back of the head like three times. And on the second or third one, I was like, yo. And he turns to me, he goes, I saw it. Relax. Did it kill you?
I saw that.
Did it kill you?
I saw that.
Bro, and here I am in the boxing fight, like, and you see me like laugh at him because it just takes me out of it. I'm like, this guy's like trying to like joke around with me and like mess with me. I was literally, I laughed. I was like, no, I'm fine, I guess. But like, what the fuck? And he just keeps smacking me in the back of the head. And I'm not gonna lie to you boys. After last fight, he hit me in the back of the head after the second round, the bell rang and he's like punched me. I kind of had a vendetta. I never really forgave him for that. That was such a dirty, like just scumbag move.
Yeah, I remember that.
That I maybe tried to like get my own, and that's where that like tap came from.
And it sucks. That should be good evidence to anybody watching this that vendetta or that feeling of anger in your life could technically fuck you. Like if he hadn't done that, he potentially could have won that fight.
Take that lesson.
If you get in a street fight, we've talked about that final kick at the end of the street fight that kills the guy.
Don't do it.
And you didn't need to do it. They're on the ground. The fight's over. And you throw that final kick and now you're in jail for the rest of your fucking life. Like, you gotta try to level out that feeling of anger and vendetta.
Yeah, for all those potential felons out there that are also our fans.
I'm here to represent you. I got you guys. If you're gonna street fight, don't fucking kick the person when they're down.
minus everything, all the cool things that happened at the fight. Like, this was one of them. Bieber walking me out.
I mean,
what's good, bro? I'm a kid from Ohio. How did this happen? What are we doing?
That's what I was gonna ask you. How did the relationship with Bieber come to be?
I've known him for a minute. We hung out a little bit way back in the day, like 4 or 5 years ago. And then it kind of just rekindled through Instagram, and he likes fighting and he got super involved in the fight. So we just started talking. Then we just started talking about like random stuff, like really random stuff. I don't even want to say it because it's so random, but then I hooked on with tickets to the fight. We go to walk out and he was posted up ready to walk me to the ring. And it was cool because the whole time he's just repeating, he's going, "Calm, calm, peace. Think about what you need to do. Calm."
Dude, he's a good
Stay
guy,
calm.
Man.
And
I really mess with
really
peeps.
Good guy. He's just like meditating with me to the ring. But Mike made a good point.
I said on the night shift the other day, on that first episode back, I was like, you know, maybe he should have said something else. Like, go out there and kill your opponent or something. Like walking into the ring, like, calm, calm.
I was peace. Way too calm. I was literally way too calm. But it wasn't Bieber's fault. It was because, like, I just wasn't in, I wasn't in the mood that day, which is weird because every day of training camp, I was in the mood. And this day I was just like, I don't know about all this. Like, I'm sick and I'm going to do the best I can.
But you told me after the fight, you were like, I don't feel like any of today was real.
None
like you just fit, you felt like the whole day was like nothing went like as it was supposed to go. It was just all surreal.
For the second time in my life, I felt like my life was a movie and I was just watching it go down and there was nothing I could really do.
What was the other time?
Ugh. Oh yeah. Ugh. Next question.
Next question.
do you think there's like a deeper spiritual meaning to this loss? By chance?
Why don't you suck a dick?
All right. I mean, I could just hit the mic.
A lot of
law.
But I will say, the win probably does more for him.
The wind?
The loss is worse for you.
Facts. What?
Like, he benefits more from winning than you suffer from.
I agree. I think him winning was essential for him. I think he needed to win.
It's big for him.
I think he needed to win. And maybe somewhere in the back of my mind, I was like, you know what? Like, I'll do this, but like, I'll probably be all right. Like,
I mean, at this point, people are so used to L's on this side.
L's, you know, on what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, they would have just been like, a fucking W? What the fuck is this shit?
This is crazy.
Like, you already won. Like, you don't need.
Yeah, and that was like my post, like, coming out of it too. I tweeted some shit like, oh, I guess back to the fucking, you know, yeah, like living this fucking shit life. This L is really painful right now, dude. Like, another thing too, like, that I've thought about it is like, this was a big win for like the like disenfranchised gamers. You know, they were like, beat the fucking jock. That dude's got all the girls, all the money. And they were like, nerds unite. And like, fucking dude, like, they were like, we could fucking do it, man.
But I also like,
and we did it.
They did it. Like, I like that story. I like that story. That's fucking dope. Yeah. Like, your leader who used to be a FIFA gamer.
And by the way, no disrespect to gaming. Obviously, like,
he
that's
games,
fucking
he
dope.
Games every night. He has a dream to join FaZe Clan. He wants to be a FaZe boy.
Because, by the way, like, if I, like, at my heart, like, maybe I'm like one of those. Nah, I'm fucking not. Not at all, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think we thought about this a lot. Say I had won. What really happens? I'm
you're a fucking douchebag.
The blonde douchey American who just took who won again. Like, we've seen this story. It's all right. I like to be real, man. Like, this loss it gives me another opportunity to just rise again, even though it just doesn't feel
what
like
are some words,
loss.
What are some words that start with L? Learning,
Logan.
No loss is just lessons, bro.
Lessons. Yeah. Liquid.
Oh yeah, licorice.
Yeah. Licorice. Yeah. What's it like? A
lake.
Getting laid.
Mm.
Getting lots of loot.
Lunar.
Mm-hmm. Looking at the lunar landing. Landers.
Another cool thing about this fight, I was sponsored by Fashion Nova, which is awesome because Fashion Nova is a brand that's very close to me. And
that's a good one.
Oh, what a weird picture. But look.
Use that as your post.
Wow, what I didn't mean to pull up this picture. Back like of the shorts, just, Fashion Nova. Why is this picture with 4 pixels? But this is a little clearer.
By the way, also once again, Jack Reese, dude. Look at him in that last picture. He is focusing on how he can help KSI up and how he can push you out of the ring. Like, he's like, yo, fuck this kid, dude. He hates you.
Yeah. It wasn't great. Well, yeah, bro. I was super proud to walk out there with Fashion Nova. This is one of the most innovative brands in the world, and they're killing it. So if you haven't checked out Fashion Nova stuff, do yourself a favor. Get Fashion Nova fit.
Shout out, Rich.
We love you. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. This was awesome. Like, definitely a highlight of my life.
Speaking of highlights of your life, how was after the fight?
Yeah,
I'm gonna be honest, boys. It's all just pity sex. No one wants to fuck a loser.
Dylan lined up a good question here. He sent us a couple guiding questions. He said, did you have a girl lined up for after, or was it more see what happens?
Dylan, I'm looking at that question. It's incredible.
Did you have a girl lined
more,
up?
Or was it more see what happens?
I didn't, because something told me that I was going to go out and just have the most fun possible and just go with the flow. And plus, like, the idea of like having a girl lined up is just
sounds a little weird.
I'm gonna have sex with you after my big manly fight.
Line up. Get in the line.
Nah, for real though. I mean, if I'm being blatantly honest with you, I was having sex. I'm like, this girl's fuck. This is pity sex, dude. She feels bad for me. she like grabbed my face. She's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fucking fine.
By the way, she dominated the shit out of him. Like, really? She tied him up and gagged him and shit like that. Yo, but we went to the after party, and I think something else to talk about. We, as a show of camaraderie, we both went, what, like 80 some odd days leading into fight night without drinking, completely sober.
By the way,
everyone said that it wasn't going to happen. They were like, Mike cannot do that. And we made it through. And all right.
Shout out to sobriety.
And let me say this. The amount of shit I got done in those 85 days, mind-blowing. like the night shift, launched a fucking new dating app, like all of those things that happened, I in some way contribute to the fact that I was focused, not out there getting fucked up and all that shit.
Now
that,
are you about to like go back to living on the couch and play ping pong?
Nah, we went out that one night. We went excessively hard. We came home at 6 in the morning. You know, we went to after parties after parties. We hung out with fucking Chris Brown and who else? A whole bunch of people at all these parties and came home and
Chris Brown was there.
Chris Brown was there.
I guess that's the only person that was there. Anyways, but we came home and I remember waking up the next day and I was like, I don't know. I just don't know if it's worth it. Like I woke up the next day, just felt like shit. By the way, I've drank a couple times since then.
Yeah, you've been pretty sick too.
I got sick immediately from not sleeping.
I want to express one thing because I can relate to you. All right, so. Yeah, I'm back. I'm free to drink should I choose. Mm-hmm. And I went ham the first night, then I kind of chilled out. And then this past weekend, we went to my ranch that I just bought. I want to dive into that a little bit, but we drank a little bit there. And I noticed that I was doing it because I was bored. Ooh, especially with daylight savings time now, it gets dark at 5:30.
Yeah, so, what is that?
Bro, come 8:30, it feels like midnight. And I look around, I'm like, I'm bored and it's 8:30. Might as well throw one back. Shit. And that is
a very, very good point.
Boredom.
One thing I did notice very early on and through the entire thing was sober life. Fuck. I gotta be really careful with how I say this. For me, the way I exercised it, I felt very mundane. I would be here most nights and
it's because here's the solution. You have to give yourself something to do. Because I didn't feel like that. During training camp, I did not feel like that.
You had training camp.
Post training camp. Facts. Now there's nothing to do. So I'm like, might as well drink.
And I do want to say, because I want to make sure that people watching this that are in sobriety or thinking about getting sober, that did end. I think probably 3 or so weeks into it, I started going out, not drinking, hanging out with, you know, with people that were and partying, and I felt no need to drink. I was just as much fun. I had more energy. I was at after parties till really late, and I didn't want to drink. But I do hear your complaint that sometimes you're just like, damn, I kind of wish like I could just like just party a little bit.
Yeah, the whole daylight saving things, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Can we?
We're not really tending our crops nowadays. You know what I'm saying?
I think there's something we can do about this. I think there's, and I would love to make a social push. I think there's a vote, right? I'm actually gonna like
who voted to keep that
Trump. No.
Well, who did?
Yeah.
I think there was a majority of vote.
Farmers only folk. That's I hate that. I hate daylight savings time. I always have. It makes me like depressed. Yeah,
the sun goes down out here at 4:48 tonight.
It is like, what the hell is that? Ridiculous.
Arizona doesn't do it.
We are moving to Arizona.
That's right.
There's an old Indian saying. I'm looking it up,
I'm looking at Mike's Google search. So far, he's typed in Indian. Yeah, you find the saying?
You're not going to find the saying.
I know what it is. I just wanted to get it exactly right. But they said either only the government or only white man believes that cutting off the end of a blanket and moving it to the top makes the day longer. So basically we cut off the end of the day and we make it, you know, and we move those hours to the front of the day. It's still the same fucking day.
I ain't waking up at 6 a.m. Suck your mom.
Yeah, suck your mom.
Suck your mom.
Suck your mom.
I mean, what's good with the haircut, Spencer? Where's Spencer Taylor, bro? Yeah,
what up, baby?
He got this haircut, and I texted him. I said, what have you done with Spender?
Yeah.
Where's he gone?
Dude, it feels so good, man. It's just nobody was, like, taking me seriously with the man bun, and rightfully so. Like, You shouldn't have been rocking that thing around for so long, you know?
Gordon.
Yeah.
Your name should be Gordon. Now.
Gordon.
Yeah. I don't know why.
I feel it.
He's Mark. I'm Jimmy.
Yeah,
Gordon.
By the way, full name Mark Malkop.
Well, no, now I'm not even gonna say it.
Yeah, dude. I don't know, man. Man buns are retired for me. I'm professional
forever?
Now.
Forever.
unless I'm like really winning and I just feel like throwing one back again, maybe. But no, I think it's donezo.
I can't believe this. I can't believe. My friend Gordon's gonna go run Ironmans with that haircut.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Nothing lends itself to an Ironman more than a man bun, dude.
It's true.
Instagram took away likes. Do you think your haircut will affect that?
I don't know. It's been adding up more likes. So I think I'm in a good position right now.
That's a mess, by the way.
Why?
That whole situation is a fucking mess.
Mine haven't been taken out yet.
Mine are still there too. But let me say this. At the very, very least, it's a pain in the fucking ass, bro. Okay. And I'll tell you why. My core metric, one, as a fuck boy, which I'm trying to grow out of, but currently, in determining if a girl is real or not when she has 3.6 million followers is when I look at her page and she has 26 likes. Okay. Now every girl with 3.6 million followers is all of a sudden a suitable fucking bride for me. Okay. Whether or not they're engaged or not. Part two, as a man who runs multiple brand campaigns and does not have access to said brand's Instagram accounts, I use my personal account to justify spends based on engagement rates. So once again, said girl that has 3.2 million followers, when I look at her page and I say, wow, she's got 3.2 million followers, but she has 26 likes per picture. I'm not fucking hiring her for this campaign. I can't do that anymore.
Well, so, yeah. So
yeah, I got to get metrics from everybody. And you want to know something about me, dude? I'm fucking lazy, bro. Yeah, I don't want to get
true.
Metrics.
I've seen him eat dinner last night. He ate dinner. He had a fork in one hand and a knife in the other. Didn't even use a fork. He's just stabbing food with a knife and eating
right
off
hand,
the knife.
Wow. Knife, chunk of food, stick the fucking knife
that
in my mouth
lazy.
Because guess what? Left hand's just resting, taking a fucking breather.
Yeah, taking a snoozer.
Because why am I going to use two hands when I could do it with one, dude?
It's good.
That makes sense.
That's good logic.
Yeah, I think, the mental health argument is there, but like, does it really help people's mental health now that it says, and thousands of others?
Or hundreds of others.
Liked by your three best friends and thousands of others. It's like we're back to MySpace.
When you get to millions, it says millions of others. So like, yeah. Yeah, so
that's even more of a demoralizing
loss. High-profile celebrities, influencers, or whatever will be constantly aiming for that.
Like, I gotta get it to a
million.
And
millions of others. And if it's not, you're kind of a pussy-ass bitch.
Yeah, this to me, it just doesn't feel like this is going to solve that problem. And it seems like that was the original push, if I'm not mistaken, right? To make it a mental health movement?
I'm going to be honest. Helps me.
Really?
Helps me.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
How?
I don't have anxiety, but sometimes when I post something that doesn't get good engagement, not so much recently, but like 6 months ago, bro, I'll get like anxious. I'm like, am I okay? My fans?
I like that.
Yeah.
That's the problem. It's only changing the public facing.
Yeah.
You're gonna see all the lights.
Yeah, but still, I think that like, why did I get anxious? It's because I was worried that I didn't like get enough likes.
But you're gonna still see.
I'll see it, but I don't care.
If I know that
I'm the only one that's like, I'm the only one who knows like what my penis looks like when I'm peeing, right? Like, and that makes me feel safe and comfortable. Yeah. So I'm the only one who knows how many likes I'm getting when I post a picture on Instagram. Mm. What a weird analogy.
Number of comments is there still, right? Because to be quite honest with you, like the true fucking factor of engagement is
false.
I believe
you've got clowns and L's all over your Instagram. What are you popping now?
Clowns and L's?
Yeah, I mean, by the way. Yeah. By the way, thank you for those clowns and L's that all you UK people are posting. I'm not even kidding. I got a higher brand deal rate based on my fucking they are literally putting money in my pocket. I put a story out asking them to put more clowns and L's on my post. My last post is like 1,500 comments on it.
Yeah.
And now I go to brands and I'm like, yo, by the way, did you see my last post? 1,500 fucking comments. And they're
like 15,000.
No.
Yeah.
150,000.
I had a bunch of people on my YouTube video getting pissed at me for my
thumbnail.
Fucking
great,
dude.
Please get pissed.
I made like $50 off it.
Want to hear something fucked up? A weird statistic to make your wiener tingle?
Yes, that's exactly what I want.
I made three times more money off YouTube ads last month than David Dobrik did.
Ow! This one.
No. There's no celebration. This is not a brag at all. This is stupidity, or not stupidity, but it's just weird.
Tell him how much you made, so to give context.
All right, so I made close to 10,000.
You did?
Yeah. On YouTube ads last month.
Collecting my 20%.
There we go.
And David Dobrik, he sent you the screenshot.
He goes, David, because we talked about it on the show. By the way, he's come out publicly with this, which is why I'm cool with saying it.
Yeah.
He saw us talking about his ad revenue on this show. And it would appear that David Dobrik has endless amounts of money. And I said, I was like, I don't think from Google AdSense anyways, it's impossible. For videos that short and as raunchy, I bet YouTube has fucking politely blacklisted him, not from recommended, but from making money via ads. And he texts me, he goes, yo, I meant to show you this. And I think it was like
I think it was like $3,200 or something like that.
I think it was less than that. I think it was like $2,000.
What?
And so this this is not a dig or what? Like me saying that like anything about views or anything that I deserve it.
$3,200. Yeah.
Wow. Somehow surprisingly right on. But like it's just weird to know that.
The lessons here are like there's more than meets the eye.
Yes.
David's not doing it for YouTube AdSense. He's gotten very creative with how he can make money, which by the way, I think is better anyways. The reason I am able to afford anything of mine is not because of Google AdSense. It's because we've found out a way to like innovate business.
Yep.
Brand
deals.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's where the real money is.
By the way, we're saying yes, and I think we should just start saying no more often.
Oh yeah, I should take that word out of my vocabulary completely.
Yeah.
Do this. Do yes, but no.
Yes, but no.
No.
Like that girl that tried kombucha on the camera, and she's like. Well, what do you know that video?
She's dope. Yo,
she's got millions of fucking.
I think she's a TikToker, dude. Yo, TikTok. What's good?
No. Fuck
I'm not
you,
getting
dude.
On it.
Fuck you.
Right. Nope.
Honestly, we fuck that shit, dude. I'm pissed. I told you the other day, nothing makes me feel more violent than when one of our friends makes a TikTok style video. Mark Doner, I'm fucking looking at you right now, bro.
Mark,
you made a fucking video. Mark, please pull this shit up, dude.
Look at it.
Please pull this shit up, dude.
Mark, I'm going to show you this video, then I want to give context because I actually commented on this video as something not so nice. We're going to get flagged for copyright music, but...
Just don't play the sound.
Okay. He's eating a bowl of regular Reese's Puffs, and then he compares it to what he calls Travis Scott Reese's Puffs.
And when he pours in, it plays Sicko Mode.
Sicko Mode, a Travis Scott song.
Bench.
And then he starts to turn up. His friends come in, milk in the bowl, milk on his head. Dancing, Olga Safari is for some reason in the background.
Going hard.
And then he laughs at the end.
And the laugh is the worst part, yeah?
Yeah. And so I commented. But mind you, I love Mark Doner.
Same.
He's one of my best friends. He's my roommate for like a year and a half. But I commented, I hate you, Mark. And I meant it.
Did he say anything back?
I really meant it. I love Mark Doner, but that video made me hate Mark. So I just said it.
It's just, yo.
I hate you, Mark.
We talked about this last night. We talked about the difference between TikTok and Vine. Vine created some of the biggest fucking stars that exist today. And we were like, why? Why is there a difference? I don't know why. Vine said, you have 7 seconds. Create a concept. Do it yourself. Shoot it yourself. Figure it all out. TikTok, you go on there like, this is what's trending. This song's hot. So if you're a pretty face that can make your lips move to the sound of a song, you just got 4 million views. Dude, there was a fucking viral video of people overflowing their soda cups. Everybody was overflowing their fucking soda cups. It makes me want to hurt. It makes me have major... It makes me sad for life, bro.
Yeah.
Like when I see you guys do that, bro, like just fucking create something.
Here's why. It just, in so many ways, especially for our friends... It just feels like a step back.
Yeah.
We did the short form comedy on Vine, even like Instagram. And then
that's a great way to put it.
And by the way, I'm well aware of the massive success and the reach of TikTok.
For sure.
There's immense value in that. That goes unstated. But for me as a brand personally, and mind you, I have, I think, 3.7 million followers on there because I did Musical.ly for a bit. And all of them are the most cringe thing I've ever seen in my life. Please don't go watch them. You're going to watch them. I'm so sorry. You know, there's talks about us going on TikTok, but I might do it as like a fuck around. Like, you know,
we probably shouldn't even just because it, I think they should change their tagline to TikTok. We give non-creators the ability to create. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that's honestly, cool. It's cool.
But if you're a fucking creator,
kinda every platform does that. To a degree.
Bro, they give you the song, they give you the hashtag.
Bro, that's why it's huge.
I get it for the fucking Nazis, well, yeah, bro, of the world.
Nazis.
Please, if you're a creator and you're watching this, don't overflow your soda cup, dude.
If it translated to like actual like money being made,
which it does. When I do it,
yeah.
No, I don't move for.
No. I'm saying like if it was worth it though, like because I haven't seen. Is it valuable? Can you secure brand deals through?
It's getting there.
So this might be one of those things where, I don't know, maybe 10 years from now, people look back and they're like, wow, those geriatrics on Impulsive didn't want to adapt to the new changing times. You know what I'm saying?
No, see, I said this before, actually. I said I knew Nah, I said, how you know when you're washed up is when you start hating on the up and coming.
Right.
That's why I
are we? Are we those geriatrics?
I'm not hating on people. And I'm not even hating on TikTok.
Are we,
just
are we some dinosaurs right now, bro?
It's quite possible that
irrelevant. Fuck, bro. Look at the metrics.
Like, we just moved to a ranch now. We're off grid.
We're off grid.
Dude, soon we're all going to have beards and be fossilized in the side of the mountains there. Like, people are going to discover us 300,000 years from now. And be like, yeah, look, that looks like Logan Paul.
Bro, caveman Mike with his caveman Yeezys. Let me fucking say this, bro. It's not, we are not doing that. I happily embrace Lil Uzi Vert. I happily embrace Young Thug. Just because someone is new and does things differently doesn't mean you have to fucking embrace them. This shit is a sham. People overflowing their fucking soda cups and calling that content is a fucking sham, bro. I don't give a fuck what you say, dude.
I tried to make a TikTok once and they took it off the platform. Here, check it out.
Even this was real creation.
We found out how they make the noise in scary movies.
Like, bro.
They may have seen Evan as dangerous hanging from the balcony.
No, it's probably Mike taking a poop.
A shit.
It was removed in 15 minutes. Point is, I tried to do TikTok and it slapped me in the ass. Just like every other platform in this world.
Like, dude.
I think if you really tried, you could conquer it.
No shit, Jeff. What? Yeah. Obviously.
I got to ask. Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but it begs the question. Now that you're responding to Jeff saying something, Jeff, how the fuck did you get here and why are you on the show right now?
And I'm sorry, I'm so fired up.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't be, but like,
I drove my car here.
What's fucking good, Jeff?
Yeah, and we got a man bun now. We got a man bun on set.
I think the man bun's gonna go soon.
Ooh. You're gonna go Spencer style?
I usually like change every so often. Like one time I came in to a meeting and I shaved my head, Spencer, and Logan was like, what?
Spencer turned into Gordon and you're gonna turn into Jordan.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah. Gordon, Jordan.
Yep.
Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Thank you for having me.
I love that freeze. I love this show. Hey, you guys want to talk about the ranch real quick?
Yeah.
All right. So we're gonna show this on YouTube. It just has to be done the right way because if I'm being honest, it's the greatest thing I've ever purchased. I paid $1,001,000 for this ranch. That was my offer, and they accepted it because I thought it was funny.
I threw in the $1.
$1,001,000. They bought it. Or they sold it to us, and we spent the weekend up there for the first time.
Did you try 999?
I tried that. They wouldn't do it.
There's
it's a reverse, because that would have been cheaper. That would have made them think it's cheaper. So he did $1,000,001. Now they're like, damn, I'm getting a hell of a deal.
Jordan and Gordon, you guys done?
Yeah, we're done over here. Go ahead.
There's a lot of great stuff to do with the ranch. It is my favorite spot on planet Earth. And like I said, I want to do a proper reveal video. There's just one problem we discovered.
Unfucking
believable.
Yeah. You didn't look under the rug.
Yeah.
It might be severely haunted.
It's haunted as fucking haunted. Shit, dude. Ah, it's haunted as shit.
And by the way, I went there with an open mind. I said haunted. It was owned by the hippie mafia.
He goes,
the
Brotherhood
of Eternal Love.
They're going to be hippie ghosts, Mike. Don't worry about it. I'm like, yeah, okay. I start hearing the metal doors clanging in the fucking middle of the night. I ain't trying to look for
car started honking.
Yeah, what? Dude.
The second night we were there was really windy.
Dope.
And I made David and Mike move their mattress to my room.
By the way, he didn't have to fucking beg us, dude. Okay? We were more than fucking willing. The shit I was seeing, the shit I was hearing, the wind would blow and it'd be like, dang, bang, 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 ding, 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 ding. Then the fucking car horn.
Mike wakes me up and goes, Logan, a car just honked 3 times. I'm like, so? He's like, it's 2 a.m. I'm like, are you sure? David's like, I heard that too, Logan. That's his German accent. I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, oh, no. And it turns out there's a ghost that likes to honk the car horn 3 times because he did it again in the morning.
Does this make the value of the property, though, go up? Because everybody loves a haunted. I mean, people flock to that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And also, is it really haunted? Greg Paul is staying there right now on his lonesome.
Oh, yeah. When's the last time you heard from him, by the way?
It's been a couple of days.
That's what I'm saying.
He's like, dead.
Yeah. The dude's fucking toasted and roasted, bro. I mean, I'll be the first to say, I love the place. But at the same time, like,
Danny's giving me the same look. You hate the place.
Yeah,
you're a caveman with Yeezys. You're not a ranch man.
You hiked up half the mountain, and we start going up. We look back. Once we get to the top, Mike's just gone.
Mike's gone.
Because I was up all the fucking you YouTube video, and I had a lot of trouble with the fucking Wi-Fi. The Wi-Fi is 0.6 MB up. Do you know how long it takes?
You sound
to
like
upload?
The old Logan Paul.
Do you know how long I was? I said it to him.
They used to look for uploads and be like, Jeff, I'm in like Vancouver. There's no speed. I'm going to this next hotel and I'm going to the next one.
Bro, I spent hours trying to find
I said it to him. I said, I'm 2017 you. I need the fucking Wi-Fi. I need to figure it out. And then I uploaded the video and it had no fucking sound.
You want to hear a joke?
You want to know what I was doing when he was uploading or attempting to upload, having problems?
I think you were like,
I was eating Cheez-Its, watching Mike, just enjoying every second of it. Because I go, I did this for 460 days.
He loved it, dude.
I know it.
You poor thing.
On the other side.
and it does suck at times. You know what I'm saying? But it's like shit. When you have this content that you're fucking proud of and you know people want it and shit, and it's like, fuck, I'm stuck at Phobes Ranch with fucking a bunch of ghosts and fucking hippie morons.
The dedication and sacrifice is real.
Why are you disrespecting
the hippie morons?
You, dude.
Well, shit, yeah. They're going to have to travel because my ass ain't ever fucking
Here's a good question. If the alarm was going off here at this house, like the car alarm, would you be scared?
Nah, because I got fucking
Because you weren't
weaponry.
In the wilderness, like, you know?
Yes.
Basically
that's
by yourself.
That's 100% why.
But you got to just be okay with it. Because you got to just be like, yo, bro, it happens there.
Yeah, you just
got to
be
different.
Okay with mysterious horns deep in a property nowhere near civilization.
It's horrifying. Like, I'm sitting up looking at the ceiling, which, by the way, doesn't exist because it's all glass. So all the ghosts are literally looking in at.
It's so sick.
It's dope. It's dope. I swear to God, it's a cool. It's the coolest
it makes,
way to go.
It doesn't make sense.
It makes no sense.
When we were going on those hikes, it's like you get up to the top of one of the mountains that's not the top, like the biggest mountain. You're just like, what the hell?
It overlooks Coachella Valley, dude.
Yeah, it does.
So yeah. Sick.
The entire Coachella Valley. So you can hang glide into Coachella. You can hang glide.
No chance.
Yes, facts.
Yeah. By the way.
Take it easy. Don't do that.
No, we're doing definitely it. Should do that.
Yeah,
by the way, all jokes aside, the place is fucking dope. My qualm with it on this last trip is we have not gotten anything in there yet. It was very bare bones. The only thing there was to do, all right, so we'd wake up in the morning and people would be like, all right, guys, we got two options today. Go out and walk around in the dirt or go out and walk around the dirt. And I was just like, I'm going to just chill here, bro. I'm going to just chill out here.
It's like dirt.
It's just fucking
dirt.
We
love dirt. We went on the greatest hikes ever.
I just hiked 4 miles today.
I got a fucking broken ankle, Jeff. Okay, so stop making fun of handicapped people. Okay.
You can read.
I can't read.
You can read. I know you can read.
And what does reading have to do with hiking?
It's just beautiful. You're outside. You sit and read a book.
Chair. But he also is just got mountain bikes. Which I love.
Bro, look at the view. Sick. Are you kidding me?
Zoom in on Danny's face right now.
Wow.
Right fucking
now. Wow. That doesn't even look like you, Danny.
What were you enjoying? Gooby berry?
Oh my God, bro. Holy shit.
I believe that's a pineapple spear that Andre brought up.
That's the beautiful. Ghost that we were looking for.
So yeah, but look sick. At that. That's all your property. You own every inch of that.
Sort of.
I mean, just go with it.
No?
Go with sort it. Of.
I own 84 acres that is right here
and
in the middle.
On the bottom? Oh,
but bro,
there's no houses.
The picture on the bottom is your screensaver. I was like, this is beautiful.
Welcome to Impulsive, Jeff. Wait, did you show him? Can you point out where I got to?
This was actually the mountain you didn't even come to.
No, yes, no.
No, this was the second day.
Oh,
I'm sorry. This whole thing
is National Forest.
Oh, amazing.
So I own 84, but like, that's bro, great. It's a playground of thousands, hundreds of thousands of acres. But
what's wrong with his arm?
It's a panorama.
You gotta be.
It's
fucking
a panorama. If he moves, yep. This happens. What's disappears. My house is right.
Ghost. It's the ghost.
Right here. Oh, you see sick. Down here? This is the barn.
Amazing.
This is the house. I can't wait to show this on YouTube. This video is going to be sick. But yeah,
here's the issue.
I kind of want to ask you again.
How do you protect people from coming?
There's a gate with a lock on it, a padlock. And to be honest, bro, this is, and I hate to say this, this is the property that like trespassing is not fucking taken lightly.
Oh yeah.
this is farmers.
Lightly.
I'm not going to tell you you're going to get shot, but like, yo, depending on who's at the ranch,
GP.
Whether it's our groundskeeper, or if you like, walk onto the neighbor's property on accident, neighbor Ruthie, who owns like 4,000 cattle, bro, and you're disturbing her cattle. Like, this is not the land to just try to infiltrate because
you'll get barbecued.
You'll get fucked up. And then,
are you going to use like tranquilizer darts?
That's let's just put it this way. That's what we use here. Like, so imagine what gets used there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You just don't want it. No.
No. But don't listen, I want to go ride mountain bikes there. I really do.
We just bought $10,000 worth of mountain bikes.
the number for a reason?
Just, I'm letting you know we're taking this very seriously.
A lot of them? How many?
Four mountain bikes, four helmets, four sets of Oakley helmets with Oakley shades.
Yeah. We brought that for you. Yeah.
I can't wait.
I'll be honest. Yeah, so, swiping on dating apps there.
Nothing.
It ain't good.
But there's some honeys in the town. Idlewild.
Yo, I saw there was an amazing Italian restaurant you guys went to.
It's incredible.
See my sandwich?
Yeah, it looked amazing.
Mac found a girlfriend there.
I could see that.
Listen to this. Our friend Mac, who the bearded pilgrim, you guys, I'm sure have seen him before. He's always he's one of these guys who's like, I was born with a chance, serendipitous exploring. Like, he's always just like, he's out in the Netherlands somewhere, mind wise. His whole thing is called Mind. And he's always writing in this little notepad. And he's like, today I set out to enjoy the world. And so we were in this small town near the ranch, and he's writing in his notepad, and I look over and there's a girl. Today I'm going to explore the world. And he look, and their eyes like link up, and I'm like, they're fucking both writing some crazy shit right now. They're definitely gonna talk. So Sick. He goes up to her and he talks to her and he's like, hey, you're writing, I'm writing, we should like be in love and stuff. Bro, like, so
let's
they
go
fucking,
on the Mayflower.
Let's go on the Mayflower together. So they talk, they hang out, they exchange like numbers, they talk about how big a font they write in, all that shit, whatever, right? And they fucking leave. They go their separate ways. We leave and we're driving and we're 20, 30 minutes away from the town. And there's this girl sitting on the fucking bluff writing more shit.
Stop.
Just fucking writing.
On the rock.
So Max stops and he goes up to her and he's like, serendipitous adventures have led me to you. And now we must sail the ocean blue.
I love it.
Bro, like, and then to make matters even more extreme, we're back here in LA. They walk in the fucking door of the house last night. She ventured here.
I love it.
And they're hanging out in LA, dude.
I love that.
That's beautiful.
I love that. I asked her
she was doing in the random city of Idlewild. She's like, I flipped a coin and decided to come here.
No, she did not.
Y'all are made for each other. Yeah.
Maybe they can go on the Titanic. I saw there's a Titanic 2 being built.
They're doing a second Titanic. That's following the same route.
Who the fuck would get on that shit?
You're a moron.
Mac the Pilgrim and his girl.
Yo. How horrible of an ending with that story. Yeah, they sailed away on the Titanic 2 and died via an iceberg again.
And the only thing that we find is their journals. Yeah. Serendipity has brought us together. Like, dude, same route. It's sailing the same route. And my question is, like, do you turn for the iceberg this time or do you just run right into it.
Yeah, I think you run into it. Yo, what I was gonna say though is, man, is that property is like, you could just retire. You could be done. Yeah. Right? There's nothing else you need. You could live off grid. Yeah. You could start your garden, whatever.
It's a goal of mine.
So, what's next, bro?
Here's what's next. If you're on the ranch and you can't get a boner, what would you do?
Did he just throw me a Blue Chew ad?
I think so.
I mean, I guess technically we got another sponsor. Ladies and gentlemen, if you like sex, you love BlueChew.com. Blue Chew offers men a performance enhancement for the bedroom because we all like to last a little longer and go a few extra rounds.
Mm. BlueChew.com,
you can get the first chewables with the active ingredients. Still done that fall on title level? You know the drill. I can't say it. Same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. It only takes a few minutes to connect with a BlueChew.com affiliated physician, and if you qualify, you get prescribed online quickly. No in-person doctor visit, no awkward conversation, no waiting in line at a pharmacy. The chewables from BlueChew.com are prescribed by a doctor made in the USA. They give you confidence in bed every single time. You and your partner will love it. Chew it and do it. Here's a great deal for you guys. Go to BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use the promo code Logan. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com. Promo code Logan.
By the way, we got a big old bag of those suckers right for fight night.
Yeah.
For the ending. I've been sucking those fuckers down, dude. I've been walking around with an intercontinental ballistic missile as a dick for the past 2 weeks, bro.
Has anybody seen Game Changer, which I'm sure Spencer saw?
No one wants to hear about your fucking fruits, saying. Jeff.
Yeah. Okay. Fruit. Vegetable.
Well, guess what? The vegetable companies aren't paying the fucking bills. You know who is? Blue Chew. So take your fucking pills, Jeff, and get your boners the fucking illegal way. Like everybody else.
I love this Mighty Ducks jersey. I gotta ask.
What about
where'd it come from? Like,
oh, you know me. I love hockey.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about that, bro. Are you purposely wearing that because you're gonna do hockey next?
So to answer your question, Spencer.
Yeah, let's get back to that. After the boner, what's next?
It's a great question.
I love that they put blue impulsive to match the brand.
Facts.
It's tricky. I think we're gonna address this in the ranch vlog. And Andre asked me this in the mountain. We had like a little like heart to heart conversation. Well, it was more just like a question and answer, but it still felt like a heart to heart.
It was magical. I saw you guys winking at each other.
For the first time in my life, I'm scared and somewhat uncomfortable at how free I am
which is weird. It's like, I have everything I've ever wanted. I'm financially free. I'm free, like, liberty-wise, because I live in the United States of America. I am socially free. Like, I can do anything I want, but I don't know what to do. And that's terrifying. And I know I can't be the only one who feels like this, in the sense of I'm not sure what route to go with my life right now. I have some ideas, and I will pursue A, B, or C. But
or A, B, and C, by the way.
Possibly.
Or C, both A and B.
Anything, nice, really, nice, nice. In any order. But it's Dylan liked that joke. Yeah, it's odd, man. And I know just because of my work ethic and my desire to succeed, I'll find something. But it's cool. I'm at another pivot point in my life. Like we're here right now, and time to go the right way.
Should we talk at all about the? What does Jeff have to say about
all that? I think whatever he puts his mind to, he's accomplished at the highest level. Right? YouTube, fastest growing channel in the world. Boxing, top of the boxing, you know, publicity. I think whatever he decides to do, he's going to conquer. I think that his creativity is second to none. So it's going to be excited for him to take some time and put that creative juices to work again. I'm excited about it.
I really want to exercise the creative muscle, because I feel like it's been a minute since I really like got creative with something. Even when we did daily vlogs, it was like a forced creativity that involved like a lot of cringe and manufacturing. And I want to get creative in how we innovate this space yet again.
Should we talk about the combo from last night, or just save it? Are we going to air that?
No, I don't know.
I think what you probably will see over the next few months is him being a little bit more liberal with what's filmed and showing a little bit more of what really happens, as opposed to the title of the vlog being, we bought $10,000 worth of bicycles, and then shutting the cameras off once his friends come over. And once we go out in LA and do the stuff that we do, it'll probably flop. The $10,000 worth of bicycles becomes a sub story that might or might not get shown. And the main story is what happened in his life.
Yeah, you also said you were going to place Andre with artificial intelligence.
Facts.
Right?
Yes. That's
where you no longer have 100%. A videographer anymore.
Yep.
Sorry about that, dude.
We're powering it with electricity and vegan juice.
Here's the big answer to your question that I'm going to go down this path. We need a team.
Yeah.
We need a team. That's the that we're gonna find hardworking, talented young folks who want to succeed and join Team Maverick. That's number one.
Love it.
They're probably already. My guess is they're probably already established creators.
Minor, but yes.
Maybe unless they're disgruntled. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And there's someone like I brought up at Jeff. I thought it would be dope as fuck to have at Jeff.
He wants to poach Jeff from the vlog squad.
I would love to. I think he's dope as fuck, and he would make a like. I told him last night when we were talking about. I was like,
but we can't dope poach if we, Jeff.
I know. And by the way, we'd never try that. But what I'm saying is, you know,
I'm
if a secondary at Jeff, but like if me and him sat down, we created this talent pool, and I said, all right, you pick one, and I'll pick one, and so mine, I would pick one that was like kind of like me, and he picked one that was kind of like him. And then and by the way, we also need a girl, dude.
We need a girl. We need a girl. By the way, I want her to live in this house. She's got to be with us. She got to become our home girl.
We're turning this into like the real world.
No.
But maybe, yes. Like, yo, this is
the Jersey Shore, real world.
Like, also, the real world, bro. Like, as entertaining as it was, I think just we have a thing that the real world folks just don't have. I think the fact that we are
Blue Chew.
I think we have Blue Chew and they don't.
I can say this without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah.
No story that any team currently out there is able to manufacture is as fun to watch as the story that we live every single fucking day without making anything up.
So why do you need a new team? What's wrong with the team?
Nah, because we need to infuse because we need more creators. Like we need more people to bounce off of. Like,
when I come downstairs and I see Mike making a show on his lonesome called The Night Shift, it gives me utmost joy. I am ecstatic that my friend and partner is making content. We need creators who, when I'm done with my vlog and Mike's done shooting the night shift and we're done with this show, they'll go and make, you know, 3 times a week content, whatever it is, a makeup tutorial or whatever it is. Like I need that. And that creative gene that makes people want to post on YouTube is very, very hard to manufacture. Like I've been making videos since I was 10. There's a reason. I've always loved it for whatever fucking reason. And by the way, ask any YouTube creator who has found success on a scale that big. They've probably been making videos since they were like 10. It's hard to find if we went to like an improv school like UCB and we found someone who was funny. Sure, they're funny. Sure, they'll provide like entertainment value in our content. But afterwards, they're not going out and building their own platform because they just don't know how. That creator gene is the thing that's going to be the staple of this organization that every one of us has, and which is why we're going to just become like a Sidemen on steroids.
Well, also like
it's like a chupacabra mixed with like an abominable hexagon, snowman. And a hexagon, you know what I'm saying? It can go in different climates.
Yeah, 100%. Beast. One thing that like I always wanted to bring like as much as possible, whether it's through like whatever means, was like trying to level us up on from a culture perspective, like whether it be like bringing in like I want people that are fucking about the culture. Like I want people that are gonna like set trends, whether it's music, whether it's this, whether it's that. Like I told them last night, like I want to call somebody and be like, yo, we want you to be on our team. And they're like, well, I'm with like Uzi right now, but I'll come over after. You know what I'm saying? Like the people that are on the forefront of like what people are talking about. Because that's what we talk about on this show. Like we talk about shit that people are talking about anyways outside of the show. And I want the content direction to reflect that outside of this show. How do we bring Impulsive to the vlog channel?
I think it's diversification too, like you guys are saying. Bringing the beauty person, bringing the intellect, bringing the business person, bringing...
Don't touch me.
James Charles is moving next door to us. What if... we cut him a very handsome, and I mean by handsome, like he just takes 100% of everything to join our team.
All right, guys.
Shout out this watermelon.
What a weird way to end. Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Season 2 has started. It's initiated. We're back. Hit that subscribe button and join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for the most awesome, epic podcast in the world. You can find this on Spotify too if you like to listen to things audio only.
We got great guests coming up.
We do have great guests coming up. We got I don't even know any of them. TJ Dillashaw, Chuck Liddell.
Oh, that's great.
The Joe Markowski from DAZN.
Big Mike, the real Big Mike.
The real Big Mike.
the weed king guy.
Yeah, TJ Dillashaw.
Saturday, you want to say it again, Danny? Or like, what's good?
So just be, Joe, shit, we love y'all. Mm-hmm. And hopefully the California State Athletic Commission takes a good hard look at my appeal and takes me seriously. And
doesn't think you're a Nazi.
Doesn't think I'm a Nazi. All right, we love you guys. We'll see you next time. Take it easy.
Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.